All right, it's good to be here with you all. Let's open your Bibles to Mark 5. I'll read the passage, and then we'll pray. Be in Mark 5, verse 25 through 34. This is one of the Lord's miracles. Our God is a miracle worker. He does impossible things, and they were recorded for us. And this one in particular was recorded, and what's different about it is the person didn't fall down before him like we normally see. It's a story of a woman who just thought to herself, if I just touch the Lord, I'll be healed. And I don't know how that got recorded. I mean, later on we see that the Lord points her out, but it's like, how did he know? How did Mark know that she just thinks to herself, if I just think this, if I just touch him, I'll be healed. And so we can start in verse 21, actually. When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. And one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up, and on seeing him, fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live. And he went off with him. Jesus went off with this man. He started following this man, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him. A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak, for she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Well, let's pray. Father, we are your sons and daughters. You've bought with your precious son's blood, who came down and walked among us, lived a perfect life, a spotless life. He followed men and women around. He turned and looked for women. Where are they at? Who touched me? And he notices the least and the greatest. Lord, you teach us. You know us. You've made us your own. You love us. And we're here. We're cast upon you, Lord. We have nowhere else to go. As Peter said, Lord, you alone have the words of eternal life. We want that word, Lord. We want that food. We don't live by bread alone, Lord. We live off of your word, Lord. We've got to be fed, Lord. I've got to be fed. Please speak to us. Please help us today. And please, Lord, save among us. Show your mighty hand, your power to save in our midst, Lord. We need you. Lord, we feel when this stuttering, this lisping tongue lies silent in the grave, Lord, oh, to wake up someday and to be able to shout your praise better, to glorify you more. Lord, though our sins were as crimson, they've been white. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, Lord. What great things we have to talk about and to sing about, to pray about, to glorify you. Lord, we boast in you today. I just ask for help, Lord. Ask for help. Please, use me this morning as you will, Lord, and help Craig later on. Help those in Corpus, in Laredo, in Austin. Lord, we need you, and we're asking for your Spirit to send it, Lord, and to empower us and to encourage the brethren and for the Spirit to convict. Lord, you said your Spirit would convict of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Lord, we can't save anybody. We can't open their eyes. Lord, only you can. You alone, Lord, have the power to save. You alone are mighty to save. So we ask this in your name, Lord. Amen. All right, so these are my points right here. We're going to talk firstly about the woman's condition, and then secondly, her decision, and then thirdly, Jesus' disposition to her. And so we see that starting in verse 25, 26, Jesus, or her condition. So, and you see the context here. Jesus, he's going with Jairus. Jairus has just fallen down before him, and he's asked him, Lord, come, heal my daughter. She's sick. And whether you're 12 years old today, or you're older and you've been 12 years sick, we need the Lord, and Jesus is our only hope. And so Christ, he goes with Jairus and the crowds. And in Christ, he wastes no time, does he? I mean, on the way, he heals this woman. And it wasn't even his main focus. It was on the way, and Jesus is constantly just redeeming the time. And you never know when the Lord could meet with you in the car praying or something like that. Just a side note, just to redeem the time. The Lord, he does that perfectly while he's on the way to help Jairus. Acts 10:38, it says that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. You know, that's one of the main reasons that Jesus came on this earth, was to destroy the works of the devil. Just totally destroy them. He overcame the world, and many are oppressed. You know, last night, I was at work, and they were watching some horror movies, and they asked me, Evan, why do you want to watch this? Well, I told them, it's that I don't want to watch that because that's real. The devil really oppresses people. There's real. There's darkness. There's the powers of the air, and Jesus came to destroy all that. And so that's what we see here, is Jesus is setting this woman free. And so I want you all to imagine that you're going with me to a call. And so we show up at this lady's house, and you're asking questions, you know, signs and symptoms. Do you have any allergies? What's your medical history? What's going on? What's your chief complaint? And she tells you, I have this problem. It's been going on for 12 years. And it won't stop. And it's been miserable. And I want you to think back then. It wasn't like today. It wasn't like today where you could go get medical help. I'm very thankful for medical help. I mean, I looked at some of the medical help back then, and it was bad. Some of the things that they would do. And so praise God for advances that way. But you're asking her questions, and she's saying, yeah, it's miserable, ceremonially unclean, no children, people run away from me, I'm a leper, basically, and 12 long years, and you see it in verse 26, I've gotten no help, not just no help, but I've grown worse, way worse, and I've been on calls like that where the lady has, or the patient, they've gone so many places, and they have something special, and it's like she just broke down in tears, and he said, I just need some help. And you feel that, like, I felt for her so badly. It's like she just wanted some help, and this is where this lady is at too, and I'm hoping that's where you all are at as well. Like, maybe today it's been many years, and you've tried so many things, and you've gotten no help, and yet you've gone worse. More than that, you've gotten worse. You've tried multiple things, and none of them have helped. And so you ask her, well, what doctors have you gone to? And I got this from Spurgeon, but what doctors have you gone to? These are actually the only ones that I made up. But she says, I've gone to doctor, eat, drink, and be merry. I've gone to Dr. Legalist. I've gone to Dr. Try and Do Better. And none of them helped. They only made me worse. All the medications from Dr. Eat, Drink, and Be Merry, they worked for a little bit, but man, I woke up again the next day and it's no better. I can't drown it out. It's miserable. That's our sin. I want you to see the not only the physical, but the spiritual analogy here. And so that's her condition. It's a very sad, pitiful condition. And then she hears of Jesus. And that's what you all are doing today. Every time you come here, hearing of Jesus. Jesus is preached here. And I don't know how she heard of it, but someone told her about Jesus, how he can heal, how he can raise the dead. He's got power over things, everything. And so secondly, her decision. So she hears about him and she doesn't fall down before him, but she decides, I'm just going to touch him. I'm not going to fall down before him, but I'm going to touch him. And why do you think she did this? Well, maybe she felt ashamed. I'm sure there was some shame there. I'm sure she felt, I'm unclean. Christ is holy. I don't want to come down and fall before him. I don't want people to know. I'm just gonna touch him. But maybe she remembered how in the Old Testament, if even a beast touches the mountain, even an animal touches that mountain, will be stoned. You remember that in the Mount Sinai? They couldn't even touch that mountain or they'd be killed instantly. Maybe that's what she thought, like, I don't want to go to him, but I've got to. And the reality is she did go to him, even if that was in her mind, if I touch him, he's holy and I'm unclean, I can still go to him and touch him. And you see the comparison there. The old covenant, the mountain, stay back. Don't come near. Even an animal touches this mountain will die instantly. But Jesus is not that way, is he? He says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And maybe she just had really big faith. And I love this last possibility. I know she did have faith. Jesus says you have faith. Your faith heals you. And she just thought, if I just touch his garment, I will be healed. That's amazing. May God give us that faith, brethren. Just to realize, just to connect with the Lord in the morning when you wake up. That will get you up in the morning. If I can just see a little bit of Christ, just the fringe of his garment, all my troubles will be gone instantly. It does not matter what you have. Lost your job, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you just touch Christ a little bit, it'll all be gone. It doesn't matter. Whether you're lost or you're saved, that's your answer today, brethren. And I'm here to remind you of that. If you just touch the Lord, if you just see him a little bit, it will be well. And so I think it was a combination of these things, the reason why she didn't fall down before him like Jairus. And her decision was a desperate one. I want to ask you, are you desperate for the Lord? If you've come every Sunday, are you desperate for him and for him alone? Not to gain more knowledge of Scripture, not to be with the brethren necessarily, but for him, to touch him, to know more of him, to have contact with him, the living Christ, the Savior of the world. Well, she was desperate. She had nowhere else to go. She spent all of her money. She went to every doctor she could think of. And I'm going to Christ. I've got nothing left. I don't know where else to go. I'm going to him today and tomorrow and the day after that until I finally see him in eternity. That's the Christian. I'm going to him every day. Nothing else satisfies. So I want you to realize that, to give this example of when you became a Christian and what it takes to be a Christian. And so at work, oftentimes we have rescues, water rescues, and we train for these. And sometimes we really have it around here, but the fast rapids, rivers, and someone's flowing down the river. And sometimes you got people waving their arms. They got lots of life. and you know, they just fell in maybe. Other times, you got people who are cold and maybe limp. But the people who are easiest to rescue are those who it's like they have no strength left. They're cold, they're miserable, and they can't save themselves. And when you jump in there and you grab them, they're just completely limp. And you just go to the shore, and it's really easy. But if they are still have all this fight, no, I can do it, I don't need help, you jump in there, it's almost like they try and drown you. It's hard to get to the shore. They think, I got it, I can do this. And so that's the idea. Like, she had nothing. Jesus was able to just go and pull her to the side. She had nothing. Lord, if you don't save me now, if you don't save me today, I might not have tomorrow. Lord, will you save me today? I've tried everything. I'm sick of it. It's only made me worse. That's where you have to be as well. If you don't know the Lord, that's all it takes, is to just see your need of him and just be like that person in the river. Lord, I can't do anything. Jump in and save me. I'm cold. I'm miserable. I've got no strength left. And so sin is so deceitful, isn't it? I mean, just to think about her, like, no, I'm going to go back to those old doctors, you know. Maybe there's some help after all there. You know, as soon as you think about following the Lord, there the devil is to put some new idea, some new video game, some new whatever in your mind. Like, no, this will actually satisfy you. Try this. You know, some new doctor, oh, I got something that will help you. Really, it'll help you. And she's like, no, I'm done with all that. I'm following the Lord. I mean, think about Esau. Esau sold everything for one plate of food. I think it was Piper who said this. It's like Bill Gates saying, hey, can I have your bag of candy? You can have everything. I just want your bag of candy. And it's like, what? Like, so all that, all of your estate, billions and billions of dollars for that one bag of candy? You think that's ridiculous, but that's what you're doing if you sell out Christ. That's what you're doing. You're giving everything for that one little bag of Jolly Ranchers or whatever. It's going to go away. You're going to expire it, and it's going to all be gone, and you're going to have nothing. You're going to have nothing at the end of it. And you have to realize sin is so deceitful. It takes a work of God to realize that. There's nothing here. Nothing here worth living for, only Christ. He has everything. No doctors can help, no more money. You think about, how did she earn her money when she spent all she had? What are you doing? Are you just earning money just to try and get and pay for more doctors, more help, more satisfaction here in the world? It's never, you're going to run out of money soon. You're not going to take the money with you, and the doctors won't help. So that's her decision. She's done with all of this. Now, what if the Lord was here right now? What if he was here right now? And I would like to remind you, you say, well, he's not here right now, so I can't touch him. I can't get healing, but he is. Romans 10, it says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. These men up here that proclaim the truth, that's what you have to believe. That's this word of faith. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I was talking to my neighbor right before we came here, and I said, Jesus died for your sins. And he said, yeah, and he rose again. I don't think he's saved. I'm like, you're right, he rose again. Jesus rose again. He died for our sins, and he rose again. You have to believe that. Confess that. See, she fell before him. Eventually, she did fall before him. Jairus fell before him, but later on, when she was found out, she came and she fell before him. And that's a sign of every Christian. We love to fall before the Lord's feet and confess him as Lord and take my life, Lord. It's yours. It's all yours, Lord. Use it however you want. She didn't come like, well, Jesus, I got these other doctors here. Can we kind of compare notes and see like how to figure this thing out? No, like she left all that behind, and she came just completely, fell at his feet and said, Lord, this is what I thought. I was lost, I was sick, and I just thought, if I just touch you, I will be healed. And I am healed, Lord. And then he started to talk to her, and he started to, we'll get to that later. But I was thinking about my other sister, not Bethany, Evangeline. Whenever she was saved, we were at a HeartCry conference, and she never could say, Jesus, I believe that you died for my sins. She could always say, God, I think you died for sinners. I think you died for sin. Or, Jesus, I think you died for sin or sinners. But she could never personally say, for my sins. And I remember, like, I was a few pews back, and Don Curran was talking to her, and it was just like this. Immediately, as soon as she could close with Christ and believe that he died for her sins, boy, her face just lit up. And I remember she go and telling Paul Washer, like, Paul, Christ saved me. It's like, you've heard that your whole life. And it really is simple, isn't it, brethren? Like, you just confess him as Lord, and you believe him. You believe that the name of Jesus saves you from your sins, and it will happen. Immediately she was healed, and that's what we see here. She believed in her heart, and immediately she was saved. Well, we get to the third point here, and that is the way Jesus dealt with her. So kind, so gracious, so tender. We need Jesus' power, and he's willing to give it. She touched him and he stopped. He knew something had happened, and he didn't know who, which is very amazing. Jeff, he can get up here and talk about that. As a man, he didn't know who touched him, but as God, he knew that power had gone out. And God, obviously, he knows all things. Jesus, though he grew in wisdom and stature, the fact that he came down and took on human flesh, a body, a brain. There was a man over in Lebanon who was a dentist, and he had collected some skulls, and he's like, look at these skulls, and just to think, like, Jesus had a body like us. And he grew in wisdom and stature. And he didn't know some things. And he was okay with that, because he was a man. He took on our weakness, that we would be strong. He poor, that we would be rich. He's the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And yet at the same time, who touched me? Like, that's just so amazing. And just the Lord's humanity, such a sweet, personal Savior, willing to do this for us. And he stops. He realized some power had gone forth. And, you know, if your car doesn't start, well, first look and make sure that the cables are connected to the battery. Then you get the power and the car will start. And she touched him, and bam, power came out, and she was healed, and Jesus was aware of that. Something amazing had happened. Now, maybe you don't know if you've touched the Lord, and that's okay. The Lord knows. He knows immediately if someone touches him in faith. Maybe you don't feel saved, but you're Lord, I'm putting my faith and my trust in you. I'm going to follow you. I don't feel saved. But see, the Lord knows. The Lord knows his own, and he knows when power goes out to save someone. And so just keep following him. Keep following him, and then eventually he will show himself to you. Just like this woman, he spoke to her. And so that was the first thing about Jesus, was the power had gone out. And the second thing is, he asked, who touched me? And we talked about that, how God can know things, and Jesus knew things and didn't know things. He knew Nicodemus under the tree. He knew the woman had five husbands. He did supernaturally know things. But this, it appears that he didn't know who touched him. And the disciples, you know, they're confused and like, Lord, there's so many crowding in around you. What are you talking about? And so then we get to the treatment. You know, it's kind of been a medical call in a way. And so how did Jesus treat her? Well, he not only healed her, but he forgived her of her sins. 1 John says, if you confess with your mouth, confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And here we have, what is true repentance? Well, I love this passage. And this is in a way, this is just true repentance right here. You think, have I repented or not? She came, this is what she did. She came and she told him the whole truth about herself, about who God was. That's true repentance. You're not leaving anything hidden. You're not holding on to anything. You've left it all, and Lord, here it is. Here I am. Lord, I've wrecked my life. I've lived for myself. I've spent all my money, and I need help. You're God, and I need help, Lord. That's the whole truth. Nothing but the truth. Just she laid it all out at the Lord's feet with fear and trembling, and yet the Lord, he just so graciously dealt with her. He says, first of all, daughter. And I thought about that passage in Isaiah 9, and Jesus calls her daughter. This is Jesus. He says, daughter. Isaiah 9, for to us a child is born, to us son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Everlasting Father. This is Christ, right? This is talking about Christ. Everlasting Father. He calls her daughter. Again, this is something for Jeff, but it's amazing. I mean, this is Christ, and yet he calls her daughter. He was God at the same time. And what a sweet, what a tender thing to say. You're my daughter. And you all are sons and daughters, immediately adopted into the family. Sins paid for, forgiven, wiped away. Daughter. So, and he says, you've been, your faith has made you well. Your faith, it's definitely, the Lord has set things up where it's an instrument for your salvation. The Lord uses that. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You have to believe that. He sees that faith and he rewards that faith. It doesn't save you in and of itself, but when she came thinking, I'll just touch him, I'll be healed, she was. That was the instrument, the channel by which that power flowed, was her faith. And so don't just sit there and fall asleep and think, well, God has to zap me and do something. No, go out and touch him. Ask him to save you. Plead with him. Cry out to him, Lord, I've got to have help. I have nowhere else to go. And you know, she got peace. Do you have peace today? And you know, Lloyd-Jones, he says, that's the greatest question. And we all agree with that. That's one of the greatest questions you all can ask yourself, and that we all as Christians enjoy in, is peace. Peace with the living God. No longer wrath upon us. You wake up in the morning, you've got peace. You can imagine, just imagine her waking up the next morning. I'm healed. Like, I'm really healed. It's gone. And I have peace. I met Christ. I was able to touch him. And he healed me instantly. I mean, for the rest of her life, a little bit earlier, the legion, the man with the legion of demons, the demons were cast out, he was healed, and Jesus said, go and tell what great things the Lord has done. And I'm sure that's what this lady did, and that's what we all want to do, is simply, you go downtown, you go door to door, that's simply what, as a Christian, you're telling people, is, I want to tell you what great things the Lord has done for me. David, how long was it? Was it 12 years before the Lord saved you? Probably much longer than that. That's their story, right? It's like, all of these years I was dead in my trespasses and sins. 12 years I was miserable, and the Lord healed me and saved me forgave me of my sins. What a tragedy it is. Think about the crowds. The crowds, you know, they're coming around him. They're pressing in on him. None of those were saved. None of those crowds that we know of. There could be a lot more accounts. This is the books. They can't contain everything that Jesus did. But the crowds, they are pressing in around him. And it could be that you have come here so many years and you've been close to Jesus. I mean, you can imagine there's probably some people in hell right now because they were close. Yet they were close, but they didn't touch him. They didn't believe in him. They maybe physically touched the Lord going with him. You maybe are physically touching the Lord. The word is near you. You know what to do. You know the gospel. You've been coming here every Sunday. And yet you haven't given your life to Christ. You haven't touched him in a way that led to saving, being saved, saving faith. You've just dabbled around with it a little bit. You haven't given him your life. You haven't confessed him as Lord of your life and given it all to him. What a tragedy. Well, she never went back to those old doctors, did she? Why would she? She was healed. She was a new person. Why would you ever go back to the world? I don't know. Why would you stay there? Why would you stay there today? Those doctors, they only make you worse. They've only made you worse. You've only spent all your money on things that they promised. The world promises so many things and none of it satisfies. You will find years later, if you don't come to Christ now and you do later, it's like, why didn't I come then? Why did I spend all this money, all this time, and I've only gotten worse? But praise God, he did save you. But you can come today. You can come right now and save yourself all that pain and misery. If you just trust him, believe on him now. What a miracle it is this morning that we can approach God, the living God. It used to be, I loved that sermon last week from Jeff. It used to be where we couldn't come, stay back. That old covenant, all the rules and the rituals, it's been done away. Jesus says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. This woman was so weary and heavy laden. And weren't we all before we came to Christ? Just weary, weary, tired of trying, tired of trying to do better, trying to drown out things, the legalism or the worldliness or whatever it may be. It just drains you. And she just came and was saved. Simple faith, trusting him. What could be your reason for not going to him? Well, I'm sure she had to battle with some shame. I'm sure it was hard for her. She didn't want people to know. That could be why she just thought, I'll just touch him, I'll do it secretly. Shame. What will people think? What will my friends think? What will the world think? I don't want to come out in the open like that. But realize the stakes here. Realize your soul. Realize this is the only way you're going to get true, lasting help is coming to Christ. And he made it very easy for her. I mean, she touched him and was healed. And she didn't even have to fall down initially before him. I mean, the Lord is so willing to save. He desires all to come to repentance. Maybe you just don't think the Lord can do it. Maybe it's unbelief and you think the Lord really can't heal you. But look at all of us here. Look at our lives have been changed. And Jesus has the power. The next day, I mean, he didn't come back. I'm sure many thought like, oh, it'll just be today. You know, many family members, many coworkers, when I first joined the fire service, they're like, oh yeah, we had a lot of you like you, Evan. Like, eventually you all become just like us. It's just kind of one of those things. And no, like the power of God keeps a person going on and on and on. And that's really what Jesus does save. You have to kill the unbelief and believe that Jesus really does save. I'm going to touch him. I'm going to press on to know him. I'm going to put my faith in him. And yeah, so that her testimony from years on I'm sure, was something like this: "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary." Why would you go back to those broken remedies? Those little ointments, those little things that did nothing. You know, stand here and do this and say this word. Like, some of the things that they did back then was just ludicrous. Some of the medicine that they had back then. Why would you go to those broken remedies, those broken cisterns, when you've got Jesus, the source of all power? Someone can just touch him and be healed. He can satisfy your deepest longings. There's joy at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. So that's what I had, brethren. The story of this woman who is healed. And this has just been an encouragement to me that God does save. And this isn't just, you know, something about healing where it's like the Lord heals everybody. But he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That I can for sure say from up here. He's a rewarder of those who seek him like she did. And so if you will do that, I can say right now, you will get help. If you seek him like she did, you will find treasure forevermore. Lasting joy, peace, like a river. You can lose all your children, and that man and that hymn is well with my soul, he could still say, when peace like a river attendeth my soul, whatever my lot. Well, Father, I just thank you for what you've done for us in sending your Son to die for such hell-deserving sinners like me, Lord, like us. Lord, you've brought us out, you've called us out to follow you, to know you, to walk with you. Lord, you've allowed us to come to you. There were many kings in the Old Testament. Esther went to them, and she could have been killed. They didn't want people to come at certain times. They were full of pride. But you're not like those kings, Father. You're a good king, and people can come to you right now, instantly, and put their faith and trust in you. They can come and fall down before you, and you'll heal them, Lord, and you'll give them life. You'll adopt them as their daughter, as your daughter, as their son. Lord, that's who you are. That's the King we serve today, Lord. And we're so thankful. Lord, we love you. We praise you and you bless you with all that is within us at all times, Lord, for pulling us out of the pit, for crowning us with loving kindness and good things, Lord. You are good and you do good. Lord, I pray you'd help every one of us to seek you all the harder, Lord. Let goods and kindreds go this mortal life also, Lord. We need you. We want you. Would you meet with us today, Lord, and allow us to draw near to you, Lord, as that promise says. In Christ's name, amen.